Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, Texts 39 and 40. And here is the translation to both texts. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, Kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breast with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. Here's the purport. The advantage of Krishna consciousness is described herein. Krishna consciousness gradually develops on the transcendental platform. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Master. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Friend. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Son. Or one may think of Krishna as the Supreme Conjugal Lover. If one is connected with Krishna in any of these transcendental relationships, the course of one's material life is understood to have already ended. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Chaktva Diham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti. For such devotees, going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. Na punah kalpati rajan sangsaro jnana sambhavaha. This verse also guarantees that devotees who constantly think of Krishna in a particular relationship will never return to this material world. In this material world of sangsara, there are the same relationships. One may think, here is my son, here is my wife, here is my lover, or here is my friend. But these relationships are temporary illusions. Ajnana sambhavaha. Such a consciousness awakens in ignorance. But when the same relationships awaken in Krishna consciousness, one's spiritual life is revived, and one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead. Even though the gopis, who were friends of Rohini and Mother Yashoda, and who allowed their breasts to be sucked by Krishna, were not directly Krishna's mothers, they all had the same chance as Rohini and Yashoda, to go back to Godhead and act as Krishna's mothers-in-law, servants, and so on. The word sangsara refers to attachment for one's body, home, husband, or wife, and children. But although the gopis and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan had the same affection and attachment for husband and home, their central affection was for Krishna in some transcendental relationship, and therefore they were guaranteed to be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan in the next life, to live with Krishna eternally in spiritual happiness. The easiest way to attain spiritual elevation, to be liberated from this material world and go back to home, back to Godhead, is recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishnera sangsara kori chadi anachar. One should give up all sinful activities and remain in the family of Krishna. Then one's liberation is guaranteed. Payangsiya samapipat putra sneha snutanyalam Bhagavan Devaki Putra Kaivalya Jakila Pradaha Tasamaviratam Krishne Kurvatinam Sutekshanam Napuna Kalpati Rajan Sangsaro Gyanasam Bhavaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, Kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. But that Personality of Godhead, for that Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I seek the blessings of the devotees to say something relevant. So many senior devotees here. Hare Krishna. It's interesting that Over the last month or so, some devotees have been discussing the qualification to speak on the 10th canto. It's an interesting topic. There are some angles we can take on it. Now, this particular dilemma, it came up when Srila Prabhupada was here on the planet. There was a little controversy referred to as the Gopi Bhav Club. Let's look at the bright side. It's good that it came up when Prabhupada was here. Imagine it had come up afterwards. We wouldn't have had the same definitive statements of Srila Prabhupada. And he came out with some very intelligent things in the subject matter. Does anyone remember some of the phrases he coined? One was, first deserve, then desire. There has to be qualification. Another one was, first Kurukshetra Leela, then Rasa Leela. Now devotees, they would actually argue with Prabhupada, some of his disciples. And they would say, but Prabhupada, the pastime of the gopis are in your books. So Prabhupada said, my books are like a drugstore. You enter a drugstore, there's so many drugs, but you have to take what is prescribed for you. You can't just pick what you want. You have to take according to prescription. It's a very nice answer. And the devotees, they continued to argue. They said, but Srila Prabhupada, the relationship with Krishna and the gopis, that's higher than with the cows and so forth. And Prabhupada was very emphatic. He said, for you, there is no difference. But this is a very important point, because if we don't have any realization on the absolute platform, then what are we comparing? We're comparing two things we don't know. How can we do it? So actually, according to rasa, there is no difference according if you're in a particular rasa. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Nija Nija Bhava Sabhashrestha Kori Mana Nija Bhavi Kori Krishna Sukha Asvadana. According to one's own mood, one thinks that is the highest and one enjoys with Krishna in that mood. Now it also said, Tatashta Hayamani Vichara Yadikori Sabarasa Hoiti Shringari Yadikamaduri. That if we take the neutral perspective, and the word for neutral is Tatashta, Tatashta Vichar. If we take the neutral perspective, then of all the rasas, the Shringara rasa is the highest. It is Adhika Madhuri, very, very sweet. We generally call the conjugal ras Madhurya ras. The reason why is because it's very, very sweet. It's actually called the Shringara ras. Now, so that's some consideration. Now, there's a dilemma, and Kripa Maiprabhu, he brought this up when he gave class. He said, our goal is to, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, is to enter into the path of spontaneous devotional service. So how do we do that if we are warned not to go to these intimate pastimes? How do we actually enter into it? Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, when he was constructing the Bagbazar temple, when it was opened, he composed some verses. And one of the statements he said was, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhangi. Said one should keep the ragapat, or the spontaneous path, one should worship it, pujala, in awe and reverence, gaurava bhangi, and keeping it on one's head. So this is a nice mood, that we keep the aspiration for spontaneous devotional service, we keep it very, very high above us. And if we think we're qualified, well, what does that mean? That means lack of qualification, isn't it? The more we advance in devotional service, the more we think we are unqualified. There's one in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that is said, Premarasva Bhava Jahan, Premarasva Sambanda, Se Mani Mora Krishni, Nahi Premaganda. When one has pure love of God, one thinks, I do not have a fraction of love of God. Now, this is very nicely presented by Lord Chaitanya. He says, Durdaivam Idrisham Ihajani Nanuragaha. I do not have any attachment for the holy name. What's very interesting is he spoke that. Where was he when he spoke this verse? It's the Shikshastika, but where was he when he spoke this verse? Vrindavan, no? I'll give you a hint. It's the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So where was he? Where did Mahaprabhu end his Leela? Puri. And where about in Puri? No. Well, that's where he entered. The Gambira, yes. So what's special about the Gambira? It's this place where the Lord's mood, separation, is at the highest, and he's a recluse. He's only surrounded by a few of his intimate associates. So there he is. He's experiencing the highest rasa. And what is he saying? I have no attraction for the holy name. This is the mystery of devotional service, that you become very advanced and you think that you are nothing. So this mood, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhangi, this is how we can keep the aspiration in mind, and at the same time we keep our feet on the ground. We become very, very humble. And this is the mood. It's not just the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. We see this mood throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Udava asammaho charanarenu jushamaham syam brindavane kemapi gulma latau shadinam. When he visits Vrindavan, he becomes bowled over by the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and he desires just to become a blade of grass or a shrub, just so that he can take the dust of their feet. This is the natural mood that we get if we have any appreciation for the spontaneous devotional service that the residents of Vrindavan have. And we cannot enter into that path unless we get the mercy of someone who has it. So you can't say, well, I've been practicing for 10 years, now I'm going to read the intimate literatures of the Goswamis. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, better to burn those literatures than to publish them. Rather than the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati by Bhaktivikasa Swami. Better to burn this literature than to publish it. Now, there was one time Yogeshwar Prabhu, he was trying to get the UNESCO seal for Prabhupada's books. Now, and when he went to visit UNESCO, someone there gave him some advanced Goswami literature. So he gave it to Prabhupada. It was actually Chandidas, some poetry by Chandidas. Prabhupada began to read it, and he said, actually, this literature was written for Paramahansas. People aren't qualified anymore to read this. And Yogeshwar said, only you're qualified, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I'm maybe not so qualified. He dismissed the whole idea. Later on, he called Yogeshwar back into the room. He said, Yogeshwar, listen to this. If you love me, wrap your leg around me. Yogeshwar was like, he didn't know what to do. So he just offered his obeisances and backed out of the room. Prabhupada was playing with him. So this literature, we're not supposed to read it unless you're very advanced. And as I said, it only comes if there is some natural desire. And that doesn't come by time. You can't put a time on it. It comes when you get the mercy. And when you get the mercy, it's said that even though there are so many scriptural injunctions that say you cannot, then because the desire is there, you ignore those injunctions. That is real greed. It is when you think, I cannot, but I will anyway. Not that you think, I've been around long enough, so I will anyway. That's not the right attitude. Now, the purport is describing some of the primary rasas. So I thought I'd describe how Lord Chaitanya discusses this with Rupa Goswami. Let's remember that Rupa Goswami, he's the Rasa Acharya. He's written the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on the order of Lord Chaitanya. And that was based on the teachings he received from Lord Chaitanya. So I mentioned Sabha Rasa Hoiti Sringari Adhika Madhuri, that of all the rasas, the conjugal rasa is the highest. So it's nice to go through the reason for this and see how the rasas develop. So Prabhupada, he begins by first saying, one may think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. So which rasa is he talking about? There's five rasas. One may think of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing more than that. Dasya? Well, the second one is, yes, Shantaras, the first one, yes. So in Shantaras, Lord Chaitanya describes two particular features. Krishna Nishta, which means one is fixed in thoughts of Krishna, and Trishna Tyag, one has given up all material attachment. So all rasas, they have to be based on that. There has to be these two factors. If you're not on these platforms, you're just imagining something. The word Trishna generally means thirst. And it means in this connection, thirst for material life. But there's no deep understanding of Krishna in the Shantaras. And Lord Chaitanya describes it as Kevala Swarup Gyan, which means one has knowledge of one's constitutional position, but one does not have detailed knowledge of Krishna. So it's Kevala Swarup Gyan, one has knowledge of one's own constitution. But when we come to Dasyaras, it's described as Purnaishvarya Prabhu Gyan. Lord Chaitanya says that there is an additional understanding, Purna Aishvarya, which means, simple words, Purna means complete, Aishvarya, opulence, yes. So when we go to Dasyaras, there's a better appreciation of the Lord. One understands the complete opulence of the Lord. And there's also the addition of sevana, which means service. The act of service is not present in the Shantaras. Now, if we compare Dasyaras to Sakyaras, there's some similarities, but there's something lacking in Dasyaras. And that is referred to as mamata. Mamata means possessiveness. The literal meaning of mamata means possessiveness. Mama means mine. So mamata means mineness. It's like an abstract noun. So when you have intense love for anyone, you think, it's mine. He's mine or she's mine. You have this feeling. That is absent in Dasyaras, but it's present in Sakyaras. But actually, there's two types of Sakyaras. There's one Sakyaras which is said to be Gaurava, is full of opulent awe and reverence and sambrama. And then there's that Sakyaras which is intimate, and the word used is Vishvasa. So Prabhupada sometimes explains that in Vaikuntha, there's 2.5 rasas. The Shantaras, Dasyaras, and there's half of Sakyaras, awe and reverence. But in Vrindavan, there's all 5. Now, that includes Shantaras. It's there to some extent, although sometimes it's said it's not there. But it's there in some kind of Vrindavan mellow. It's hard to understand. It's there and it's not there. So there's 5 rasas. So the extra 2.5, there's Sakyaras with intimacy, and then there's Vatsalyaras, and then there's Madhuryaras. So what's the difference? What's the extra ingredient that distinguishes Vatsalyaras from Sakyaras? Does anyone know? It's another type of gyan. You have to protect and have to look after him, exactly. So it's described as palaka gyan. One sees oneself as the maintainer. And Krishna as palya gyan. He's the object of maintenance. So this is an extra dimension to a relationship. You know, vulnerable. To be, if you're looking after someone who's vulnerable, you feel like you're protecting them, you're feeding them, and so forth. It adds a strong rasa. We see that with mothers and their children. A lot of mothers, they like babies that are very, very small because they're very cute and they're very delicate and they could die if you don't feed them. So it creates an extra feeling of intensity to the relationship. So this is palaka gyan and palya gyan. And then for the madhuryaras, final extra ingredient, it's described as nijanga diya, giving of the body. One gives one's body to one's lover. So we see this is the objectively. We see the rasas are graded like that. Now, it's said that everyone has one primary rasa, but we also can experience the 7 secondary rasas. Does anyone know any of the secondary rasas? Horror, yes. Any other ones? Some of them are quite, from a material perspective, they're not very nice. Fear? Fear, yes. There's the rasa called Bhayanaka rasa. Mother Yashoda, we're talking here about the Putana pastime. After the Putana pastime, Mother Yashoda would sometimes dream of Putana. And she would go into fear. It's called Bhayanaka rasa. It's a secondary rasa. And that she would experience that. Did you mention something? Another rasa, secondary rasa? Comedy, yes. Hasya rasa. Yeah. There's also chivalry as well. You know, back to Nanda Sarasvati, he says, Vira Rasa in this life, Madhurya Rasa in the next life. That was one of his mottos. So he was keeping a lid on his Madhurya Rasa. His natural Rasa was Madhurya Rasa, but he said, in this life, Vira Rasa. And that was directed towards defeating atheism, defeating Mayavad philosophy. So these are some of the secondary rasas. Now, what about the Sattvika bhavs? We're going through the little brief look at the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha. How many Sattvika bhavs are there? They're known as existential rasas. How many are there? 33? 30? No, Vyabhichari bhavs, there are 30. Well, there is a phrase we saw, something Sattvika bhavs. What's the first word? Ashta. Ashta Sattvika bhav. What does that mean? 8, yes. 8 Sattvika bhavs. When we sing the Gurvastika, there's 3 mentioned in one verse. Romansha Kampa Shru. Romansha means hairs in the body standing on end. Kampa, shaking. Ashru, Taranga, tears flowing from the eyes. There's also Vaivarna, which means one becomes pale. Pralaya, death-like symptom. And there's two more. There's Sveda, which means sweating. And Svarabhanga, which means the voice becomes choked up. So there are eight of them. However, in Vatsalya Ras, there's an extra one. It's mentioned by Rupa Goswami. Does anyone know the extra one that only those in Vatsalya Ras experience? It's connected with today's verse. Milk flowing from the breast through maternal affection. This is only found in Vatsalya Ras. A few days ago, I forget which speaker it was, one of the speakers mentioned that Putana represents the pseudo-guru. So back to Siddhanta Sarasvati, he discusses this in an article. It's referred to, it's called Organized Religion. I'll read you an extract. It's quite heavy stuff. Putana, the demoness who tried to kill Kamsa, is the slayer of all infants. The baby, when he or she comes out of the mother's womb, falls at once into the hands of the pseudo-teachers of religion. These teachers are successful in forestalling the attempts of the good preceptor, whose help is never sought by the atheists of this world at the baptism of their babies. This is ensured by the arrangements of all established churches of the world. They have been successful only in supplying watchful putanas for effecting the spiritual destruction of persons from the moment of their birth with cooperation of their worldly parents. No human contrivance can prevent these putanas from obtaining possession of their pulpits. This is due to the general prevalence of atheistic disposition in the people of this world. The church that has the best chance of survival in this damned world is that of atheism under the convenient guise of theism. The churches have always proved the staunchest upholders of the grossest form of worldliness from which even the most non-ecclesiastical criminals are found to recoil. But the good news, I won't read it all, it's too long. The good news is this. But the theistic disposition can never be be stifled by the efforts of those putanas. The putanas have power only over the atheist. So this is a very important point. We hear a lot of criticism about religious movements, and it can apply. We hear it criticism about ISKCON as well. But we should understand that ultimately, if we ourselves have bhakti, then we cannot be affected by any of that. We should not think that we are held back by any imperfection in whatever established church we may attend. Let me read a bit more. The effective silencing of the whole race of pseudo-teachers of religion is the first clear indication of the appearance of the Absolute on the mundane plane. The bona fide teacher of the Absolute heralds the advent of Krishna by his uncompromising campaign against the pseudo-teachers of religion. So if we consider great religious figures, they almost invariably, they went against the establishment, didn't it? Jesus, he was hated by the religious order of his time. Srila Prabhupada was very, quite critical of the Gaudiya Math. We see that. And, I mean, there are even more recent examples. Gaurgavinda Maharaj was quite critical of the GBC at times. He was also a very powerful preacher. So we see that it's natural that if a religious movement becomes contaminated, and as the article says, it is natural because the atheistic tendency is so prevalent, then naturally when someone who's very spiritually advanced appears, there will be conflict. And I'll read one last bit. But as soon as as theistic disposition proper makes its appearance in the pure cognitive essence of the awakened soul, the putanas are decisively silenced at the very earliest stage of their encounter with the newborn Krishna. The would-be slayer is herself slain. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Siddharam Lakshman Hanumana ki jai. Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai. This is a reward of the negative services that the putanas unwittingly render to the cause of theism by strangling all hypocritical demonstrations against their own hypocrisy. So this last statement is very interesting. I'll read it again. The Putinas are slain, and it says, this is the reward of the negative services that the Putinas unwittingly render to the cause of theism by strangling all hypocritical demonstrations against their own hypocrisy. So what's been said here, my understanding, it's difficult English, my understanding is that there may be hypocrisy within a religious movement. However, when people criticize it, they themselves may be hypocrites as well. So although, a lot of the time we see devotees get very critical of religion or religious movements, but they themselves are not very religious. This is their own hypocrisy. So what's been said by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is that actually the Putanas, which are the people who are in positions of authority within the religion, they're actually unwittingly doing a service because they are keeping out the hypocrites. Because you may criticize, but you yourself are a hypocrite, so you don't get the mercy of entering into your relationship with the divine because you're too critical of the hypocrites. You know, as often said that, you know, if you point out a fault, it indicates that you yourself have that fault. Therefore, how do we approach hypocrisy within religion? Well, there are different ways we can try and solve it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a perfect example. He was put in charge of managing the affairs of the temple in Puri. So there was embezzling going on. And there was some king, actually, he stole money from Jagannath. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur made him pay it back. Now this is very controversial, and the king, he tried to do some black arts to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But actually what happened when it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to be killed, the force rebounded on the king's son, and the king's son died at that time. It's very heavy stuff. So that's a reformer. If one is qualified, one may be a religious reformer. Another option, and Prabhupada actually, he sanctioned both. His idea was, we shouldn't criticize, we shouldn't judge, we just be humble and go about our business ourselves. And that's another approach. So sometimes, for example, when there was problems with management in ISKCON, sometimes Prabhupada would say, you know, just, you do not criticize, just get out of the room. You should see him as senior, I will deal with it. And he didn't like people criticizing the management, even if they weren't very fixed up. Some of them weren't even chanting their rounds. Other times he said, well, he's not chanting his rounds, he should not be a manager. Sometimes he was more judgmental. But both strategies are there. So the lesson, well, for me the lesson to learn is, while it's true that there may be problems with religious movements, it's also, we should also look at ourselves, and if we're too critical, it's probably a sign of our own hypocrisy. So these Putanas, it's described that they are slain in the sense that their demonic mentality is slain by the religious reformer, which they don't want, but that's their purification. They get that mercy because of their agyata sukriti of keeping out other hypocrites. Anyway, these are some things to think about. We've got 10 minutes left. I'll just finish with some points made by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Because I had a look at this chapter of the Bhagavatam from the angle of Sharartha Darshini, which is one of the books that is the commentary of the Bhagavatam by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says some interesting things. He says that the Leela Shakti is what inspired Putana to enter Vrindavan, which I find very interesting, because we understand that Kamsa sent Putana. It's Kamsa's desire. But it's more than Kamsa's desire, it's also part of Krishna's Leela is Krishna's desire. Therefore, the Leela Shakti invited or inspired Putana to enter into Vrindavan. He also explains that we're talking about the different rasas. One of the rasas is Adbhuta Rasa, wonder. It's one of the secondary rasas. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Putana pastime, it indicates the sense of wonder. Because it's just very wonderful that Putana should pick up the child, thinking the child to be an ordinary child, whereas the child was actually going to kill Putana. So it's compared to like someone picking up a snake thinking it's a rope. This whole phenomenon is called Adbhuta Rasa. Now, actually, I'll just digress a little bit while I remember it. In the Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, he categorizes Krishna's qualities into four. His opulence, his sweetness, his wonderful pastimes, and his mercy. Now, he gives examples for each. For the example of sweetness, he describes how the queens of Dwarka, they desire to take the dust of Krishna's feet, and they're very eager to be like the residents of Vrindavan. This interest indicates that the sweetness of Vrindavan surpasses anything that can be experienced in Dwarka. For the example of pastimes, he gives the example of how Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, they got to experience the childhood pastimes of Krishna, whereas Devaki and Vasudev didn't. So the wonderful pastimes of Krishna are indicated by this. Now, as for opulence, who can tell me what you think is the example of opulence in Vrindavan? There's an example of one pastime which exhibits Krishna's opulence. Because most of his opulence is outside of Vrindavan. He displays his opulence outside of Vrindavan. But in Vrindavan, there's one particular pastime. Okay, it's the pastime of when he expands into many Vishnu forms, the Brahma Vimohana Lila. All the calves and the cowherd boys, they're all Vishnu expansion. This is an exhibition of the Lord's supreme opulence. Now, sometimes we think that Vrindavan is not the place of opulence. But if we look at the pastime, Hera Panchami pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there, Srivas Thakur, who is he in when he's not in Chaitanya Leela? Narad Muni, yes. And what's Narad Muni's relationship with the divine? What's his rasa? Who's his Ishtadev? Now, he's always in Krishna's pastime, but his Ishtadev is Lord Narayan. So he has awe and reverence. Dasya, yes. So in the Hera Panchama pastime, that's when the helpers of Lakshmi, they go from the Jagannath temple and then they come to arrest who is it they're arresting? The followers of Jagannath. I can't remember, the servants of Jagannath. They come to arrest them because they want to bring Jagannath back to Lakshmi. So at that time, there was a little argument between Srivas and Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar, his rasas, he is Lalita, so he's in conjugal ras. So Srivas Thakur is saying, he's glorifying Lakshmi and goes, you know, Lakshmi so full of opulence, but Vrindavan, it has nothing, you know, just a few berries and things. So Swarup Damodar, he corrected Srivas Thakur. He said, and he gave three examples, the Kalpa Vriksha, the desire tree, the Chintamani gem, and the Kamadenu, the wish-fulfilling desire cows. These are three examples of the supreme opulence of Vrindavan, and it excels even the opulence of Vaikuntha, although we don't consider it that way. Anyway, I was returning to the Krishna Sandarbha. So I mentioned there are four types of categories of Krishna's pastimes. There's the mercy, the opulence, the pastime, and what was the first one? I mentioned it. The sweetness, yes. So we mentioned three of them. Now the mercy. What is the example of the mercy of the Lord from the Vrindavan pastime? It's actually part of this. It's very relevant to this particular part of the Bhagavatam. It's the killing of Putana. Yes. Why? Because consider the attitude. It's the complete contrary attitude. She approached with a desire to kill, and yet she got the position of a maidservant. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he discusses where did Putana go. So, in Friday's class, in the Sanskrit, there's the term Janani Gatim, which means the position of a mother. So that indicates, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Putana got the same planet as Mother Yashoda, went to Goloka Vrindavan. However, he qualifies, he says, however, he didn't go to the same part. She didn't go to the same part. She went to the part where happiness and reverence is prominent, but not where the mood of loving service or prema is prominent. So she didn't actually get the same exact position as Yashoda because her mood was wrong. So this is this pastime, you should understand, is represents the mercy of the Lord. Aho bakiyam stana kala kutam jikangshaya payadapya sadvi lebe gatim datruchitam tatonyam kamva doyalam sharanam brajema. Uddhava says, kamva doyalum sharanam brajema. Who will we find more merciful than Krishna, who delivered Putana, who came with a desire to kill Krishna? So if there's anything we should remember about the Putana pastime, we should remember it's the the wonderful mercy of the Lord. And I'll stop here. We've got 5 minutes left. Hopefully this comments or questions. Hare Krishna.